Well, good morning. This is Brother Van Wyndham from over at West Macomb Baptist Church. Glad to be with you again this morning. We hope all of you have had a great week. I know we've had some storms around. I know up at Hazelhurst, Mom and Dad's house, we had some trees down, had some hail one day. Sure didn't mess my corn up. I needed the rain, but I sure didn't need all of that wind. So we hope all of you are safe. All of your places is all right. Hope you have electricity by now. I know ours went out a couple times. But we're just glad to be here with you this morning once again to bring the word of the Lord to you. And so this morning, before we begin, let's do go to the Lord in prayer. Ask him to bless our time together and bless what we have to say today, and that it will be meaningful to you. And so I know we had a great week this week. We were in vacation Bible school. We were down a little bit in a number of our children, but we still had a great vacation Bible school. The spirits were high. There was a lot of excitement in there. Anytime you get 50, 60, 70 kids around, it's always a fun time. And so we just had a great week and have our family night tonight. So we invite you to come out for that. If you're in our area, if you'd like to come out to our Vacation Bible School family night, it will be tonight beginning at 5 o'clock. So we're looking forward. Always a good time to make those connections with those parents and those homes. So this morning, as I said, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get right into it. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you once again for just allowing us to live, giving us the privilege to preach your word, Lord. I thank you for this radio station that allows us to do that we still live in a nation to where we have that freedom and that liberty. But Lord, we know that we're quickly seeing those freedoms and liberties slip from our hands. So Lord, help us to grab hold to them and hold them tight. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can come and preach your word. So, Lord, we pray that it will always be your words, not ours. Remove self out of the way. Cleanse me of my sin. Use me as your vessel this morning, Lord. Whatever those that are listening need this morning, Lord, we know they can have that need met. We pray for those that may be sick and afflicted, those that may be shut in, you know their every need. And so, Lord, we come and we lift them up to you and just ask you to restore them to their health. We pray for those that may be traveling this morning. Lord, we just ask you to give them traveling graces to and from, that they'll just make it there and back safe. But Lord, just bless the reading of your word now. Don't allow Satan to steal anything from us that you have for us. But we give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. This morning, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 4. We're going to begin with verse 16, and we're going to read down through verse 22. Luke chapter 4, and we're going to begin, well, matter of fact, we're going to begin with verse 14, and read down through verse 22. This morning, I want us to think about Jesus defines his ministry. You know, how does he define his ministry? When somebody asks you to define what you're doing, or to tell them, well, what are you doing? What is your ministry? What are you doing? You know, a lot of times I know people ask me, you know, what about our church? Well, what kind of ministries do you have? Can you define us? And we'll talk about our brother in MU, our WMU brotherhood, our children's groups, our RAs and GAs. And a lot of times they'll say, well, what is that? You know, what are you doing? A lot of times we have different ministries who will call up and want us to support them or to have them to come and be a part of our service sometimes. And, you know, and I have to ask them, I say, well, define me. What is your ministry? What is it all about? Well, you know, when Jesus began his ministry, we know that there was those who believed it, those who accepted it, those who didn't. But we know that Jesus did define his ministry in every way. Matter of fact, in the scriptures that we're seeing today, we're going to see how that he tells everybody that this is my ministry, and he defines it to a T for us. And so I think it will help us to really understand why Jesus came to the world, what his ministry is and what it was, and how that he accomplished that, and why he came to this world. So, you know, that's a lot that we want to find out about a ministry. And, you know, when I think about ministries, I ask people, well, how did you begin this ministry? Or why did you begin this ministry? And a lot of times they'll say, well, you know, we saw a need here in our town, or we saw a need in the world, or we saw a need in our community that we were to do this. And then a lot of times people say, you know, the Lord laid it on my heart. I was talking to a man just this week at the hospital, and he was sharing with me a vision that he had like 15 years earlier before he ever saw that vision come to realization and understood what God really wanted him to do. But God gave him a ministry, and God showed him what he wanted to do, and it took almost 15 years for it to come to reality. So, you know, we can all have those ministries. We can all have those feelings from the Lord, but what do we do, and how do we begin that ministry, or what does that ministry even mean? Well, Jesus's, we know, is the most important ministry ever known to man. I mean, we've had some good ones. You think about Samaritan Purse. You think about the Red Cross. You think about some of these others that we have that are great ministries. The Crisis Pregnancy Center. I know we just took up our bottles last week for their fundraiser. You know, all these are great ministries, but none of them has been what Jesus's ministry was to the world. None of them have meant what Jesus's ministry meant to the world. And so we see that he defines it here in these verses. So let's get to it and read it. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 14 down through verse 22. Luke chapter 4, beginning with verse 14. And it says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit unto Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the regions round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophets Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it is written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And as he began to say unto them, 'This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears.' And all bear him witness, and wondered at the glorious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, 'Is not this Joseph's son?'" You know, as we read these verses, as I said, Jesus has began his ministry. We know after John the Baptist had come and began, the forerunner had started, and after his baptism of Jesus, and we know Jesus goes through that time of temptation after that baptism. We know that John is beheaded later on. Jesus begins his ministry of preaching and teaching. And once again, he says, you know, you got to repent and be saved, and carries on the word that John the Baptist has said. And he talks about him being the Messiah. But in these verses, look what happens. We see that it says that Jesus had been where? He had been around Galilee and the regions round about, and everybody that was hearing what he had to say, they were glorifying him. You know, word had gotten out of who he was and what he could do. And then it says he comes to Nazareth, but Nazareth was the place where Jesus had been brought up. It was a place that he, I guess, as a child, that they had seen him grow up, and maybe as a young child or older child. And it says that when they looked at him, and he gets up on, he goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath, like the Sabbath was. It says it wasn't nothing new. This was, you hear me say a lot of times, Jesus was a church going man. He believed in going to the church. He believed in being in the church at the appointed time. If it was the Sabbath, he was going to be in the synagogue. So he's in church. So as they get up to read the scriptures. Now, this was something that they did, that they would have the priest, of course. You'd have three other priests. They would preach, it's like read scriptures, like seven different ones that would get up and read during this time that they would be gathered there in the synagogue. And so they pick up the book of the Bible, Isaiah. They gave him the book, and he begins to read, and he opened the book, and he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to the recovering of sight to the blind, and liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So he names the seven things that we find there that Isaiah had prophesied about in his word back in the Old Testament. We see that Jesus reads these things. He closed the book. He sits down, and everybody's looking at him. And then he says, "Today these scriptures have been fulfilled in your ears." And notice what happens. They all began to wonder, what in the world is he talking about? What are all these gracious words that have come out of his mouth? And then they said, well, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? You know, here Jesus is. He is telling them, he's defining to them his ministry. Have you ever known somebody who started a ministry that maybe you knew back in your young days, or maybe you knew back before they knew Christ, and when you heard that they had started a ministry, you thought, man, I can't believe he's a preacher. I can't believe he started a church. I can't believe they've started a ministry. But we see that Jesus is sitting before them. He has defined unto them what his ministry is all about. He should have answered every question that they should have about a ministry like we should. And so we see that when he does this, they still doubt and they still say, what? Well, isn't this Joseph's son? Isn't this Joseph's son? So I want us to go back and look at Jesus' defining of his own ministry. I know we've preached on these seven things before, found there in Isaiah, and I know we've used those verses before, but I want us to go back and really look at how Jesus defined his ministry, because it's so important that every ministry that you see has some of these same ingredients that you need to check out before you support those ministries and before you decide to become a part of them or what have you. So let's look at what Jesus says about his ministry. We want to look at four things this morning that Jesus says. The first thing he says is, I was sent, what? Sent from the Lord. I'm sent from the Lord. Number two is, he says, I've been anointed by this Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. It has anointed me. I am sent from the Lord. Number two is, three is, it was a ministry of healing. And then lastly, number four, it was a ministry of redemption. So let's look at those four things as we look at how Jesus defines his ministry here to his home people there in Nazareth. And has he defined it to the world? First of all, he says what? I have been sent. I'm sent. I've been sent by the Lord. Do you see there in verse 18, once again, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord is the one that has sent us. He is the one that has called us out. It is he who has sent me to do this. He talks about a little later on, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. So first of all, we see that he is sent. He is by the Spirit of the Lord is what he is doing this. Now, you know, as I thought about that, you know, should that not be the beginning of every ministry? If it is not from the Lord, then brothers and sisters, you don't need to be a part of it. If it's not sent from the Lord, if it's not the Spirit of the Lord is not upon it, then you don't need to be a part of it. You know, Jesus told them in Matthew chapter 10, verse 40, he was talking to the disciples and he said, they that receive you, receive me. And those that receive me, receive him who, what? Who sent me. So, you know, if we're out there trying to send ourselves, now I hate to say it, but I've known a lot of grandma and grandpa called preachers. I've known a lot of people who sent themselves to the mission field and went on the mission field by themselves. They didn't go with the Lord. They wasn't called by the Lord, but yet they sent themselves. There may be some that are sent by a church or sent by a denomination, but they're not sent by God. Brothers and sisters, we've got to be sent by him. When we think about our ministry, when we think about defining it, then that's the first thing we need to know. Is this of man or is this of God? Is the Spirit of the Lord all over this, or is it just something that some man wanted to do? Now, you know, there's a lot of good things that have been done for humanity through a lot of good people that had nothing to do with coming through the church or coming through God himself. But yet these people did these things and accomplished these things because they felt the need to, because they were just good-hearted people or they were compassionate people. But when we think about Jesus' ministry, we have to understand and know that he is sent from the Lord. He has the Spirit of the Lord all over him. This is from God. It's not just some man-made thing. You know, when the ministry began, the early church began, and after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and the early church was going, and you know, many times, you know, they just didn't know whether to accept it or not. And we know even when Jesus was alive, what did they say? Well, you know, if this is a man, it'll fail. But if this is of God, you can't stop it, right? I mean, I've seen that right here in our own town, in our own community, time and time again, to where ministries may start, but they don't last long. They don't last long. But it's if a God, it's going to last. It's going to be there for years to come. You can't stop it. It's going to continue to grow and continue to be a vital part of that community. So we have to be careful about a ministry. When we think about defining that ministry, is it of God? Is it sin of God? Is it anointed? Is it of the Spirit? Is the Holy Spirit all upon it? Or is it just of man? So we see that he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 14, he says, we have seen and we do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. We have seen it and we testify of it, that the ministry of Jesus was from God. The Father sent the Son. And brothers and sisters, when we think about the ministry of Jesus on the face of this earth, we must understand and know that he was sent here by the Father. He was not just some man. He was not just some prophet. He wasn't just a good preacher, as some people will have you to want you to think. Some religions even teach that he was just another good prophet. No, the Father sent the Son, and the Son is the Savior of the world. And we need to believe that. We need to know that. We need to receive him. For if we receive him, then what did he say back in Matthew? Then we receive him that sent him. We understand that he is of God, and we believe in the Lord. Well, let's look at the second thing. He says, not only has the Spirit of the Lord upon me, because he hath done what? He hath anointed me. He hath anointed me to do what? To preach. Now, I like that. I believe that God anointed me to preach. I believe back when I was 17 years old that God laid upon my heart and called me into the ministry and anointed me to preach. And I don't know how great of a job I do it, but I do the best I can, and I've done the best I can now for almost 50 years that I've been in the ministry and that God has allowed me to preach. Me and my wife have been pastoring. It will come up this next July. We've been married 47 years in our first church that we started pastoring was in November of that same year. So we actually been in the pastorate for 47 years. And so I've actually been preaching for about 49 years. I believe wholeheartedly God anointed me to preach. This is what Jesus said. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach. Now, if it comes from God, then God is going to anoint it with his Spirit. Now, if his Spirit is not there, if his Spirit is not on it, then you don't need to be a part of it. If it's not anointed by the Spirit of God, if God has not poured his Spirit out upon it, have you ever heard somebody say, boy, you could just tell that ministry was anointed by God. You could just tell that church was anointed by God. You could just tell what they were doing, that this was anointed by God. Sometimes we do ministry in our church. Sometimes we come up with new ideas about how God would have us to serve the community. And you just know right off the bat that this is of God and it's anointed by his Holy Spirit. It is what his Spirit would have us to do. It is what God's Spirit would want us to do. As he says, I am anointed to do what? To preach. I'm anointed to preach. Now, what was he supposed to preach? Well, he says, first of all, I'm anointed to preach what? The gospel to the poor. So what does that mean? What does the word gospel mean? What does it mean? It means good news. You know, when those angels came and on that night of Jesus' birth and were before the shepherds, what did they say? Be not afraid, for behold, we bring you what? Good tidings. Great news. We got some good news. We got some good news for you. We got the gospel for you. For unto you this day a Savior is born in the city of David, which is Christ, the Savior of the world. So, you know, that's what Jesus says, I'm here to preach. I'm here to preach good news. And good news to who? To the poor. Now, why is that so important? Now, who is the poor? Now, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, in the Beatitudes, we see that Jesus says what? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, there are several different kind of poors here that you could be thinking about. There are those who were physically poor. There were those who didn't have a lot of monetary or materialistic things. There was those, you know, that were poor in the spirit. You know, their spirits were down. They were downhearted. And they needed to hear good news. Well, that's what Jesus said I came to do. I came to preach good news to the poor. That's my ministry. You know, a lot of ministries are for the poor people, right? You know, you look at the Samaritan Purse, you look at the Red Cross, you look at the soup kitchens, you see a lot of these things, Salvation Army, a lot of these different ministries. We know we have them here, right here in Macomb, you know, the Wings. We got several thrift stores that are set up by different St. Ann's. The Catholic Church has a big one. I know we have the Christian Church that cooks meals for the homeless. We have a food closet at our association where people can get food and burn out kids if their house burns. So, you know, there's a lot of different ministries to the poor. But Jesus says, I came to bring them good news. I came to bring them good news. I came to tell them, look, things are going to get better because I'm offering you salvation. No longer are you going to be told because you're not a Jew, you can't be saved. No longer are you going to be told because you're not of Israelite clan that you can't accept Jesus. No longer are they going to be told because you're a poor peasant that you don't deserve salvation. The reason you're poor is because God's mad at you and he made you that way. No, he says, I came to preach good news to the poor. For the poor in spirit, they shall do what? They shall inherit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They shall have it because I come to bring that good news and to preach that. I came to preach. Secondly, what did he say at the end of that verse? Well, in verse 19, he says, I came to preach what? Not only good news, the gospel to the poor, but I came to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, what does that mean? You know, back in Old Testament days and stuff, they had what was called the year of Jubilee. And I think it was like every 7 years. What was it for? Every debt was forgiven. And that Jesus said, I came to preach good news to the poor. I came to preach the year of Jubilee. Now think about it. If you're poor and you're having a hard time even paying your debt, and Jesus says, I come to preach good news to you, then the good news would be what? Hey, I'm going to relieve your debt. We're going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year that God says, I'm going to wipe away all your debt. I'm going to wipe away all your tears. I'm going to wipe away all your sins. I'm going to wipe away all these things that are holding you back. He says, because I'm anointed to come and preach that. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And the poor need to know that they have just as much right for forgiveness. They have just as much right for salvation. They have just as much grace and just as much mercy as anybody else. He says, that's the good news they need to hear. You know, so many times it seems that we get so low and we get so down on ourselves and we get so low and the world just keeps pushing us down and kicking us down that we never think that there's a way out or there's a way up. And we see the lower we get, then that's where all the loan sharks and all that charge you the high interest and just puts you further and further in debt. But Jesus says, I'm bringing you the acceptable year of the Lord. This is the year that I'm going to preach to you and I'm going to share with you that God will forgive your sins, that he'll remove that debt from you. He'll renew that debt. He'll forgive your sins. This is going to be the year of Jubilee. This is going to be the year that you have good news. So we see that Jesus defines this ministry, first of all, by what? It's sent from the Lord. It's sent from the Lord. It's anointed by his Spirit. His Spirit is all over that ministry. Well, then let's look how else he defines this ministry. He says, my ministry is going to be a ministry of healing. You see the two things that he mentions here? He says, first of all, I'm going to heal the broken heart. I'm going to heal those that are brokenhearted. Second of all, he says, the recovering of sight to the blind. You know, but he says, I'm going to heal you. I'm bringing in a healing ministry. Now, we know, if you know any of your Bible, you've read through Jesus' ministry, that it was a ministry of great miracles, that he was constantly healing people, the blind. He was giving sight to the blind. Matthew chapter 9, chapter 11, Mark chapter 10, verse 46, that blind Bartimaeus. And you know the story behind that. There are so many places where we see Jesus healed brokenhearted. He raised Lazarus from the dead. The brokenheartedness that we see that Mary and Martha had. I mean, he raises up Jairus' daughter. There's others that we see that he healed their broken heart. He relieved people from what? From that old devil himself, those people that were possessed by those demons and had those demons in them. Jesus set them free from all this. So he healed people's brokenheartedness. He gave the sight to their blind. But you know, it was much more than just the broken heart that we would think about a physical or the sight of being blind physically. It was what? The spiritual brokenhearted. It was the spiritual blindness that we see in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18. He says there, understanding was darkened and there was blindness of their heart. You know, the world would do that. The world will blind you. Satan will blind you. Satan will darken your understanding. He will make you where you can't see. And Jesus said, I'm going to give you the ministry of healing. I have a ministry of healing. I'm going to heal you not only of this physical blindness. I'm not going to heal you only of this physical pain that you have. I'm not just going to heal you of just a broken heart, but I'm going to heal you of that brokenness that you have in your life. I'm going to give you sight of that blindness that you have, but not just a physical sight, but I'm going to give you a spiritual sight that you can see. You know, isn't it amazing that sometimes the blind man can see better than seeing people? When the Bible, when you read those and you think about that blind man sitting there by the road and crying out, Jesus, Jesus, come help me. And everybody says, shut up, don't bother Jesus. I mean, he could see better than they could, even though he couldn't see Jesus. He could see him with his heart, and he knew who Jesus was, and he knew that he could find that redemption if only Jesus could come. And Jesus comes and heals him. And not only of his physical blindness, but what? Of his spiritual blindness. He forgives him of his sin. Time and time and time again, we see Jesus doing that. He healed people of their sins. He forgave them. And we see that he is a ministry of healing. I know a lot of times we have gone on medical missions. My wife and I, her being a nurse, and we started way back in, oh, I guess 1994, something like that, 2000. We started on mission, going on mission trips, and we went on several, and we've been around the world since then. And a lot of times they're healing mission trips. We take medicine. We know Brother Gary Boland carries medicine to Romania two or three times a year and takes a routine to do medical missions. And matter of fact, they're going in July. And if you would like to give medicine for that or money towards that, you can do that through our church, and we'd love to have that. But we see that we go and we minister to the physical need, to that physical blindness. We take eyeglasses, isn't it amazing? And we put them on them. We take walking sticks for those that can't hardly walk. We take, you know, any kind of muscle cream to help them with their muscle spasms, whatever we can do. But, you know, we don't just minister just to that physical need. We minister to that spiritual need. And we share Jesus with them because, see, that is Jesus' whole ministry. Yes, he came and healed people, but he didn't just heal their body. He healed their soul. Well, let's look at the last thing then. He was a ministry of redemption. Look what he said. I came to deliver the captive and to set at liberty the bruised. Now, think about that just a minute. He came to deliver the captive and to set at liberty the bruised. You know, there was a lot of people who are captive to sin today. There's a lot of people who are captive to drugs and alcohol abuse. A lot of people captive to porn. There's a lot of people captive to other things that we know in this world today, gambling and other things. Jesus says, I come to deliver you from that captive. I come to set you free. Now, how did he do that? Through his forgiveness that he offers us. That's what set at liberty to the bruised. You know, you can be bruised, you can be a captive, and somebody can set you free, but if they can't heal the psychological and the spiritual and emotional bruises that you may have, this is what Jesus said. I came to give you that complete redemption. I am the Redeemer. I can forgive your sins, not just to set you free physically, but to set you free spiritually. You know, Satan's biggest thing is to cause us to sin and then to keep us beat down with guilt, to make us feel guilty. Listen to what he says in Titus 2:14. He says, who gave himself for what? For that he might redeem us from all our iniquities and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Did you hear that? He gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from what? from all our iniquity, so that he can have to himself a peculiar people who are zealous of good works. You know, he came to redeem us. He didn't just come to set us free and turn us loose. He came to minister to us and to give us new life, a new person in Jesus Christ, so that we are set at liberty from that is bruising us, that Satan no longer has a grapple on us, holding us back. We are set free from his grip, and therefore we find true what? Freedom in Jesus Christ. We find true liberty in Jesus Christ, because only he can forgive sins and remove that guilt that Satan tries to put on us. So this morning, Jesus defines his ministry, that it is a ministry sent from the Lord, anointed with the Holy Spirit to preach the word, to minister the healing to those that need healing, to minister redemption to those that need redeeming. That is his ministry, a ministry sent from God above. This morning, understand what Jesus came to do for you. Accept that help. Don't be like the people there in Nazareth. Jesus finally had to go on and say what? Well, you know, a prophet is without honor where in his own country. Everywhere else he has honor. But in his own country, so many times, we're without honor. The people said, what? Well, isn't this Joseph's son? No, this is the Son of God. This is his ministry. Jesus, sent from the Lord, anointed to preach, a ministry of healing and redemption. A ministry that will minister to you today if only you will receive him. Won't you do that today? Receive him. Allow him to set you free. Allow him to heal your brokenheartedness and your blindness this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for these that have listened so attentively today. And Lord, I just pray that we will be set free from whatever's holding us back today, that we'll understand that Jesus was not the son of Joseph. He is the Savior of the world, that we have to believe in the Father who sent the Son to be the Savior of the world, he that sent him. And so, Lord, we believe in you. Therefore, we believe in the ministry of Jesus today. And we preach it and we share it. Lord, if there's one lost, help them to accept you today. In Jesus' name, we do pray. Amen.